We're going to read about King Hezekiah tonight. And we're going to look at some events in his life that have to do with him submitting himself to God's will. And what we're going to talk about tonight with the message is the consequences of discontentment in the will of God. And if you've noticed, there was a little bit of a theme in the message of the songs tonight. Following the Lord. And the Lord does all things well. And submitting ourselves to the will of God. It's an important principle that we need to be reminded of in the daily Christian life. And back to our topic here tonight, King Hezekiah. There's a debate over the years of whether or not Hezekiah was a good king or not. And you know, Hezekiah had his moments where he did some really, really good things. And he also had his moments where he wasn't on top of things. And this is what we're going to read about tonight is not one of his finer moments as a king. But there are some principles, some good principles for the child of God to be found here in this passage in regards to being content in God's will. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll begin. Father, we ask for your blessings on this message. Father, help us to stay awake tonight. Father, to tune in to the Word of God, to make the applications where you would see fit. And Father, to know and to trust that you have a great purpose in every event of life. Everything that occurs in life, Father, is either by design, Father, you've either allowed it or you've caused it. There are no accidents with God. And Father, we can trust our Heavenly Father that your character is such that you only do good things for your children. Father, there is no bad where the Lord is concerned. And Father, you have a great purpose to accomplish through every circumstance of life. And I pray that you'd help us to be reminded of these principles tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. The first thing that I want you to notice here tonight is some surprising developments in the life of Hezekiah. In verse 1, the Bible says, In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Can you imagine getting news like that? Here's Hezekiah, who's a relatively young king. I'll get to more of that in a second. He's got things going well for him, and here he gets a message from the Lord, Get your house in order, you're going to die. Can you imagine receiving that kind of news. Some surprising developments, a turn of events in Hezekiah's life. He didn't get up that morning expecting to hear the message that he was going to die. Nobody does, typically. And surely this must have been a startling thing for Hezekiah, especially if you look at the previous chapter. He had a great victory that happened to him in the previous chapter. In fact, go back to chapter 19. We'll just look at a couple of verses here. In chapter 19, verse 19, "Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us from his hand and all the kingdoms of the earth, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." Skip down to verse 35. So here he prays in the name of the Lord to be delivered. The Lord heard it, verse 35, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Here's a great military victory that happened in the life of Hezekiah. He's on cloud nine. And all of a sudden he gets the news that he's going to die. Here the Assyrians came against Jerusalem. They blasphemed God. And Hezekiah prays for deliverance. And God hears his prayer. And Hezekiah experiences this great victory. Things were going well. Then came, "You're going to die." I can imagine Hezekiah probably just went, "Oh, what?" No doubt it was a surprising development in his life, a surprising turn of events. And as I said before, he was still a young king. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 38. Hold your place here in 2 Kings and go to Isaiah chapter 38. In Isaiah 38, verse 10, "I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world." Let's keep reading, verse 12. "Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver's my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me." And if you look in the context here, these are Hezekiah's words. After he got the news and the message from the Lord that he was going to die, here's Hezekiah's words. He says, I'm being deprived of the residue of my life and my years. Like it's not a fair thing. I have so much life in front of me. And we get the idea here that this news didn't sit well with Hezekiah, even though it was God's will for him. He didn't like it. Look with me, let's read on a little further. We're in Isaiah chapter 38. And let's read on a little further. We got to verse 12. And he says, "I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul." We get the idea here that Hezekiah was not really in favor of what the Lord said was going to happen. And can you blame him? He said he's going to die. You get the feeling here that he was fighting God and feeling sorry for himself. He wasn't content with God's will. You know, I can make an application here. Sometimes we get the same way with God. At times we face surprising developments in our lives. Things not going according to our plan or going according to how we want them to go. Things that we really didn't see coming. Hard things that we don't feel like dealing with. And we say, you know, man, I really don't need this right now in my life. I really don't need this going on. Can't you see that, you know, that I'm burdened down with all these other things and here's just another thing on top of it? I really don't need this. We feel sorry for ourselves with a woe is me type attitude. And we kind of complain. Why do things have to be so hard? Why can't I just have it the way I want it? We start to fight God, even when it's His will for us at that time. And we become discontent with God's will, as if to tell God that we could do a better job than He can, or that He doesn't know what He's doing. And often we will find ourselves doing exactly as Hezekiah did, pleading with the Lord for deliverance. Lord, spare me. Lord, give me this or give me that. Lord, take this away from me. And not having the right understanding that what God has going on in my life right now is exactly what He wants. This is not a surprise to Him. Therefore, instead of asking and pleading with God for deliverance, we need to be praying and asking the Lord for His grace for every trial, rather than fighting God and being discontent with what His will is. And that's what we see in verse 2 and 3. If you go back to 2 Kings chapter 20, in verse 2, what do we see Hezekiah doing? He gets the news here that he's going to die. And the Bible says in verse 2 that he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I get the image in my mind that he's laying on his bed. You know, he hears this news that he's going to die. He doesn't like it. And he goes and he lays on his bed and he turns his face to the wall and he starts to pout and to pray. Lord, remember all the things that I've done for you. How I did this and how I've not, you know, turned like others. Lord, doesn't that count for something? I'm trying to do the best I can. You understand what I'm saying? That news that he received wasn't welcome. And we can read in another portion of Scripture how Hezekiah had only reigned for 15 years at this point. He was still young. And it wasn't all of this, all the things that were going on that had just turned in his life were not according to his plan, how he saw it going. The fact was that he was not ready to willingly submit himself to God's plan, whatever that would be. And so he prays to the Lord. And somebody might say, well, at least he prayed to the Lord. I would say, so what? So what if he prayed to the Lord? There was a selfish tone in his prayer. It's very different from how he had prayed prior in chapter 19 when he was praying for deliverance from the king of Assyria. What did he say? He said, Lord, deliver us for your name's sake. In fact, look back there at verse 15 of chapter 19. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Notice the kinds of words that he's using. He's pleading in the name of the Lord, and he's lifting up God. He says, you're a great God. Skip down to, or over to chapter 20 and verse 3, and I want you to notice the difference in how he's praying. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And he's saying, I've done that which is good in thy sight. Notice the difference between how he was praying in chapter 19. God, you're a great God. Your will be done. Lord, do this for your name's sake. Now he's saying, Lord, look what I've done. Remember how I did this for you, God, as if it was some sort of a favor. He says, I've walked I've done this. As if to say, because of all the things that I've done for you, God, my life should be prolonged. And he's groaning before the Lord, asking for deliverance from his hardship. Now let me make an application here. We find ourselves doing the same thing at times. I found myself doing this, saying to the Lord the things that Hezekiah said. You know, when trial comes into my life and things are hard, you know, feeling sorry for myself, saying, Lord, I've been obedient to you. I don't have any sin in my life. I've been doing the best that I can to walk with you. And Lord, I'm trying my best. Why do I have to face these hardships? Trying to serve you. Why is this happening? What's the deal? Have you ever found yourself saying that to God? And it's almost like a "you owe me" attitude. Look what I've done for you, God. You owe me this. Now, wait a second. God doesn't owe us anything. And all too often we pray for the Lord to deliver us or bail us out from the trial rather than accepting it as part of his will for our lives and praying for his grace and his strength. There's a big difference, and it's all in the attitude, isn't it? Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's writing about the thorn in his flesh, the thing that had been plaguing him, okay? And in verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders, mighty deeds, and so on." But he says back there, he said, "These things I asked the Lord to deliver me from." But the Lord said, "No, because my grace is sufficient." And he said, I'm gonna rather glory in my trials and my infirmities, what? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. God has a great purpose. God had a great purpose in Paul's life. And also he has a great purpose in your life and in mine. Through every circumstance of life, no matter how hard it may seem. And we miss God's best for us when we're discontent with his will for us, wherever we're at in life. We miss out on understanding the grace and sufficiency of God. We miss out on understanding our Heavenly Father just a little bit more in every trial. And we get all upset about the circumstances. And why does this have to happen to me? And I want it this way, and I want it that way. And we get complainy, and we get grumpy. And we start whining to the Lord like Hezekiah. We're not content with his will. And we miss God's very best. And we miss an opportunity to grow in our relationship with the Lord, to understand him just a little bit more. We're not happy. And sometimes people get that way. They're not happy with their lot in life, where they're currently at. Things aren't progressing like they would like them to, as if they can do a better job with their life than the Lord can. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He's not talking about the state of Alaska. He's learned in whatever condition he is in life, wherever life brings him, to be content because he knows God has a purpose in it. Hezekiah struggled with this revelation of God concerning himself, and he wasn't content with God's plan and God's will, and so he started whining to the Lord to spare his life. The third principle is this. If you go back to 2 Kings chapter 20, we see God's surprising answer. You would think that the Lord would say, "No, Hezekiah, this is what I want, this is my will. You're going to do it." But that's not what happened. Verse 4, "And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." I want you to see here that God gave his answer, and it might have been a bit of a surprise. And before Isaiah even left the palace, the Lord told him, "You go back, you tell Hezekiah, I'm going to spare your life. I'm going to give you 15 years of extra life." But notice here that God made this change not for Hezekiah's sake, not because Hezekiah prayed for this, but he did it for his own sake. In verse 5, he said in the middle, he says, "I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears, I'm going to heal you, I'm going to add 15 years to your life." And he gets down to the end of verse 6, and he says, "I'm going to defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." It wasn't for Hezekiah's sake. God would work all of this for his own glory. And God even worked a miracle in this situation. He made the sun go back to prove that he was going to do this. Let me make an application. We can almost see a sense of irony here in God's dealing with Hezekiah. And what I mean by that, I'll get to it what I mean in just a second here, but what this sense of irony that we get should teach us, again, to be content in God's will, even if we don't understand what the Lord is trying to do. Even if it changes our future plans and prospects. You know, we all have plans, don't we? We all have future plans. We all have prospects. We all have things that we want to do. But the question is, do they fit in with God's plans? And are we willing to let them go for the Lord's sake? Why did God listen to Hezekiah? Why did God listen to Hezekiah's whining? It's almost like the Lord said, "Okay, Hezekiah, you think that you can do a better job than me? Go ahead." That's kind of the sense you get. The Lord gives him a revelation. "Hezekiah, you're going to die. Get your house in order." Hezekiah says, "What? I've done all of this for you, God, and I'm going to die? Lord, spare me." And he whines to the Lord. But instead of the Lord saying, "No, Hezekiah, this is what I want for you," the Lord says, "Okay, Hezekiah, you think you can do a better job than me? Go ahead. Here you go. I'm going to give you 15 extra years." And the Lord would still work all of that for his own glory. But it's almost like, you know, a mom who's got a little boy who's like always got his fingers in the cookie jar. And he's like, "Mom, I want some cookies." "No, son, you don't need any cookies right now. after dinner. You're going to spoil your mom, I want some cookies. And he's like constantly whining all the time. I want some cookies. I want some cookies all the time. And mom finally says, okay, fine. Have at it, buddy. And what does little Junior do? Oh, man, he tears right into that. And he eats and eats and eats until he just gets sick to his stomach. Taught him a lesson. I remember when I was a kid. Oh, I was such an idiot. When I was a kid, probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, you know, I would always threaten my mom. If she didn't give me what I wanted, I was going to run away. I would show her, you're going to be sorry, Mom, I run away. And I would always tell her that. And one day, my mom said, all right, I'll help you pack your bags. I was like, fine, okay. I wasn't going to pack any bags. I left. And we lived in a place at the time at the edge of Grand Forks. It was the south end of Grand Forks, North Dakota. Not that any of you know what that is. Well, maybe some of you know. Out there, we were like basically the last block or the last set of houses. And behind us, I mean, there was nothing but fields. And way, 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 way off in the distance behind us, you could kind of sort of see the big screen of the drive-in movie theater back then. Otherwise, it was just fields. And I would ride my bike back there up and down these dirt hills and make jumps and all this kind of stuff. Well, I was going to show my mom, right? I'm running away. She's not giving me what I want. She's all right, I'll help you pack your bags. I didn't need no bags. And I started marching off through that field. You know, no idea where I was going. But I was going to show her. And I got probably, I don't know, 400 or 500 yards away from the house. And I hear, supper! Out the back door. What? Supper? Now maybe this running away thing isn't that great of an idea. And man, I took off and turned right around and ran back home. Yeah, I sure showed my mom, didn't I? But that's kind of how the Lord has to deal with us sometimes, like little children. Because we get all huffy at God because we're not getting what we want in our way and things aren't going according to our plan. And we're not content with what God has for us. We can't always see what God has in store in our lives. And I wonder if the Lord actually dealt with us that way. Okay, you want your way? I'll give you your way. I'll let you do it the way that you want to do it. And I wonder if the Lord would, how things would change in our minds if the Lord would open up our eyes and let us see down the road what was going to be coming if we did things our own way. I wonder what would happen in our lives if the Lord did the same thing for us that He did for Hezekiah. You know, Hezekiah, in this portion of Scripture, he was happy as long as he got his way. He was happy as long as there was peace in his life. Look at verse 19 of chapter 20. So we know that the Lord, sparing his life, gave him 15 extra years and so on. You get down to verse 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? All of a sudden, he's changing his tune. Here he was, Lord, you're going to kill me? I've done all this for you. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you 15 extra years. Oh, good is the word of the Lord. Is it not good as long as there's peace in my day? Sometimes we're the same way, though. We just want it easy. We want it our way. But I want you to look with me in closing here tonight. I want you to look at the results of this. When we choose our way instead of God's way, I want you to see what happens. We go back here to chapter 20, and we're going to see the sorrowful consequences that happen in Hezekiah's life because he chose his way. And here somebody might say, well, God, surely God was listening to Hezekiah, and the Lord granted him his request. But let me bring a thought here. If these 15 years that God was adding to Hezekiah's life were supposed to be a blessing, surely the rest of his 15 years would have been full of blessing if it was meant to be that from the Lord. Instead, they were filled with evils. It would have been better for Hezekiah and the nation of Israel had he just allowed God to have his way and work according to his perfect will. Let's look at some of these things here. In the first year that Hezekiah, the first year of extended life that Hezekiah had, some spies from Babylon came in. In verse 12, look at verse 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointments and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. All right, you see that? Now skip down to verse 17. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Here, in the very first year of his extended life, here come these from Babylon, and Hezekiah just shows him all of his wealth, all of his kingdom. He says, look at everything that I have. But look what came as a result. All of that would be taken away. All of it would be carried away into Babylon. About 3 years later, a son was born to him. Do you know what his son's name was? Manasseh. Look with me at chapter 21 of 2 Kings. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. All right, so get the point. God gives him an extra 15 years of life. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. What does that tell you? In the third year of his extended life, Manasseh was born. 12 years later, the end of the 15 years, King Hezekiah dies. Manasseh takes over. Okay, you got that? All right. So Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons to pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house, in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which is evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Here's a wicked man, a wicked king, who worshiped false gods, who shed innocent blood, took his own offspring, and he offered them as sacrifices to false gods, burned his own children. A wicked man. This was the son that was born to Hezekiah in the 15 extra years of life that God gave him. Manasseh was the worst king that Judah ever had, and he never would have even been born had Hezekiah just submitted to God's will. If Hezekiah could see all that would happen as a result of his extended life, surely he would have said, "Not my will, but thine be done." If he could see all the evil that would come because of his extended life, maybe he would have just said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want, you can have it." These 15 years that God gave Hezekiah were not full of blessing. They were full of evil. And God was able to work it for his own good and his own glory. But a guy like Manasseh would have never even been born. I want you to look at Luke chapter 22 in closing. Luke chapter 22 in verse 42. I want to wrap all of this up, I guess, and make the application for us. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. And if you look in the context here, here's Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. And he said in verse 42, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You know what? It's not wrong for somebody in the midst of their circumstances to say, "Lord, if there's another way that you can accomplish your purpose in my life, would you do it? Lord, if you would take this away from me, if there's another way, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." There's a big difference between, you know, that kind of an attitude and still submitting yourself to whatever God's plan is. Big difference between that and turning your face to the wall and pouting over the circumstances and saying, "Lord, look at all I've done for you. Deliver me." Big difference. You know, Jesus knew of all the good that would be accomplished by submitting himself to the Father's will. That's going to the cross of Calvary. Jesus knew that the price for sin would be paid and people would have an opportunity to have their sins forgiven. He knew of all the millions of people that would come to know Christ because he submitted himself to the Father's will. And he said, "If it be possible, if there's another way for sin to be forgiven, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." If Christ hadn't submitted himself to the Father's will, there wouldn't have been salvation for any of us. My point is, we don't always understand why things happen. We don't always understand why we're going through the trials that we go through. But that is when we need to trust the Father's heart. That He only does good things for His children. That there's a great purpose in store. I may not see it at this moment, but it's coming. I know it's there because I know my God. There's a story that's told of a lady who couldn't have children. She tried and tried and tried and tried. Couldn't have any kids. And so she went to some pretty extreme things in her life just because she just had to have a child. And she wasn't content with the Lord's answer of not now or maybe not ever. And she just had to have a child. She was just so lonely in life. She wasn't fulfilled. And so she went to some really extreme things in order to have a child. And the day finally came when she found out she was expecting. And she was just overjoyed. Well, that child was a boy. He went through his life. And she brought him nothing but turmoil and pain and heartache. And at a very young age, she watched her son being hanged as a criminal. I wonder if she could see into the future what kind of heartache and turmoil her own son would have brought her if she would have just submitted herself to the Lord and said, "Okay, Lord, in your time, if you don't want me to have children, then so be it. Whatever your will is." Rather than taking things into her own hands. It's far better for us to willingly submit to God's perfect will, even in hard times, realizing that His way is perfect and that all things are for our good and all things are for our learning. The consequences of discontentment in God's will could be devastating. How much better to say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." And so when we find ourselves in the midst of trial, hardship, we don't understand why things are the way they are. When we find ourselves in situations in life where it's not the most comfortable and we wish it could be a different way, that's the time when we need to realize that God only does good things and there's some great purpose in store. I don't see what it is, but I know God's going to do it. You know, I could use my own father as an illustration. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know He does all things well. I don't know how many more days my dad has. It's time. And the Lord called him home. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to say, "Woe is me." I'm not going to say, "God, you're depriving me of time with my dad." I say, "I know God has a purpose. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be great because He's that kind of a God." Understand what I mean? We can be discontent with our lot in life, but we miss out. Oh, we miss out on the blessing of knowing our great God. We miss out on the opportunity of finding the grace of God. We miss out on seeing God's perfect will. And we actually could make things worse in our life. How much better to submit to God's perfect will, no matter what may come. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for the God that You are. Father, for Your grace, Your comfort, through every trial, that Your grace is sufficient. And there's no need to dread. There's no need to worry, to fear, to fret, to grumble or complain. Father, it's so much better to willingly yield ourselves and submit ourselves to whatever it is you have for us, to be able to see on the other side the spiritual benefit, the growth, the opportunity to know the Lord better, and Father, to give you the opportunity to accomplish great things according to your plan. Father, when we don't understand, that's the time that we need to trust your heart. And we can rejoice and have joy through every trial when we are willingly submitted to your will. Lord, help us to apply these principles. And Father, I don't know what's going on in people's lives. I just know what you'd have for us tonight. And I don't know what's coming tomorrow. But I know these principles are so very valuable in our daily Christian living. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be reminded of the kind of God that you are, your love and your care for us. And Father, be able to submit ourselves joyfully to whatever you allow in our lives. Bless your people. Thank you for the time we've had together tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd give us a good second half of the week. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your time and your attention. Lord bless you the second half of the week. And we'll see you again on Sunday. Thank you. You are dismissed.